I'm Janice Hostegger. After 3 decades in the marketing business and many years of being an entrepreneur, I've learned a thing or two about marketing. Join me as we talk about marketing, small business, and life in between. Welcome to My Weekly Marketing.
You don't have to actually answer this question because I think I know the answer already, but do you ever feel completely overwhelmed with your marketing? I ask this because today's podcast guest, Nicole Bernard, and I both focus on marketing strategy for our businesses, and we do it for the same reasons, because we see so many overwhelmed entrepreneurs, and we both feel that the way to conquer overwhelm is through marketing strategy. But that means starting with the foundations, specifically your ideal customer avatar, which is what we're talking about in our episode today. As you'll hear in the interview, Nicole was first an entrepreneur with a farm she and her husband had together, but now she runs a marketing agency to help other small business owners manage their marketing too. In fact, it's her mission to help 1 million small businesses. I love that goal. So here's my conversation with Nicole. Good morning, Nicole. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat.
So tell us about your story. How did you arrive at this place? Has your journey been kind of what you expected it to be? Or tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Actually, I had a meeting before this and somebody asked a similar question. Did you ever always think you're going to be an entrepreneur? And I was like, no, I actually thought I was going to be in like the corporate world with like cute clothes and stilettos. And then I ended up on a farm. But yeah, so it's been great. I started my entrepreneurial journey in 2007. Like I mentioned, my husband and I had a small farm and brewery. We did that for 10 years. I did all the marketing because that's my degree. And because I can't really grow plants very well. So I did that part. Yeah, I want to. I really, really do. But it just does not work. So we did that for 10 years. And then we ended up closing the farm because we caused a little too much traffic and our neighbors weren't as excited about our success as we were.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, that was kind of a crazy time. But looking back, you know, things always work out the way they're supposed to. Then I worked at a marketing agency and then branched out on my own in 2016. And that's what I've been doing for the past 8 years.
That is really interesting. I love hearing people's stories because everybody has such a unique story to tell. And almost nobody I've ever talked to says, this is exactly what I planned on doing. This is
right,
exactly,
yeah.
You know, no, mm-hmm. Life doesn't work that way.
Nope, not at all.
So you founded your agency in 2016. And I love that you came to the same realization I do, because we do pretty much the same thing to focus on marketing strategy. So did you have it like kind of an aha moment where you realized that people didn't really have a strategy in place? Or is it something that you kind of learned from in your own business?
Yeah, kind of similar. Yeah, like I kind of learned from my own business. And then also like, in being in college was before the internet was even a thing. So I learned about marketing strategy, but our tools and the way that they're executed is completely different, as you well know. So I remember having, you know, strategy classes kind of back then, but not to the extent now. But yeah, like even as a small business owner, like for the farm, even though I did the marketing, like I didn't quite write it down the way I probably should have and just kind of was doing things that were working. And then we went to like when we closed the farm, we were going to move locations and we came up with a big business plan. And that was probably the first time that I ever really sat down and like wrote out a marketing strategy. And it was mainly because, you know, we were going for funding. And at that point, I was like, oh, my goodness, like I should have done this before. And so and then in talking with entrepreneurs and business owners over the past few years about that, too, I've found that a lot of them don't because, you know, we kind of jump into business and we're so excited. And there's 1 million other things to do that kind of gets put on the back burner. But it's such a fundamental piece of success, you know. Just kind of like getting people to take the time to kind of, and it doesn't have to take a ton of time either, you know, kind of getting their thoughts out and their goals and things like that. So that's been really fun to help other business owners do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I found that was true. I mean, I had a design agency for a number of years. And so I would do their website and I would do their logo, but I had a marketing background. So that's kind of, I came up in corporate and agencies and so on. And that's the thing I saw is that small entrepreneurs or small businesses would do a lot of what I call shot in the dark marketing, where they would do an ad here, do some social media, but they wouldn't really understand how it all connected together. And they really wouldn't do, like you said, the groundwork, which is really understanding, first of all, their target customers and really niching down and really understanding who that customer was. So, and I know that's kind of what we want to talk about today too, is a little bit about that target customer. So, from what do you think is a kind of common myth about target customers that when you see a new business or you have a new client, what do they come in with? Like when you say, who's your target customer? What do they say?
Yeah. I think people, like business owners, have like a general idea, you know, like, oh, I'm, you know, solving this problem or I'm providing this service and the, you know, like with a person on the end in mind, but they don't quite take the time to like really dig a little bit deeper, you know, and kind of like figure out, you know, where they're hanging out online or offline, you know, like what kind of content they actually like to consume. Like I actually hate videos. I'm probably like one of the only person like that doesn't consume them. I'd rather read. And so like just even the little nuances, a lot of people are like, oh no, I'm just going to do a bunch of videos because that's what I hear. And kind of similar to what you're saying about trying all these different things, but nothing's really working because they're not quite connecting all the puzzle pieces together. So I think too, like people just being like, oh, I know who I'm talking to. But when you really start kind of asking those questions, you know, like what are they really struggling with? Like, what are they typing into Google? Like, you know, and you can see a lot of that data on the back end. And then when they learn that, they're like, oh my goodness, you know, and then they're able to kind of create content where they're at. And it's just, you know, a lot more effective that way.
Oh, it is. Like, it's so foundational. I mean, once you understand what they're looking for and what their pain points are and even the little
what
things
they resonate like, with.
Yeah. Like where they, it, like you said about video. I mean, there are customers that love video and there are customers in the same, it can be your still be your ideal customer, but they are more analytical. I know I did an article a while back about the four types of customers and some are really analytical. They look for those numbers and they read every word on your sales page. Other people are like, they identify with your personality and they just want to connect with you on a personal level. And other people are really focused on doing good for the world and more of a humanist. And so, I mean, there's so many different nuances to identify that target customer that it really does become challenging. And I think a lot of small business owners sort of brush past that. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, I know, you know, she's a woman, she's, you know, 25 to 55 or something like that. And the reality is that a 25-year-old is not going to be on the same social media platforms that the 55-year-old is on. So really, really understanding who that ideal customer is and creating an avatar around it is so important. So do you have a process that you use for your clients or what do you recommend? Like, so you say, okay, you need to dig a little deeper. What pathway do you bring them down?
Yeah. So whether I am working like with doing done for them, or I also work with them sometimes to kind of teach them what to do, I have a workbook that they start with. And the first part is their goals, you know, like what are their goals? Are they going more like brand awareness? Like I really want people to see, I want to do a lot of social media. Or are they trying to increase their conversions on their website because people aren't taking that next step? Maybe their goal is to be able to hire someone, you know, and so kind of like really, again, taking the time to sit down for a cup of coffee or a glass of wine or something and think about those goals. Again, I feel like people have a vague idea of what their goals are, but until you kind of start to write them down and get them out of your head, it's just harder to kind of like hold to them because you're not quite sure. So start there. And then I also kind of go into like the buyer persona, same thing, like, what are their struggles? What are they Googling? How do they like to consume that? You know, where are they financially? Where are they like literally located? Are they seasonal? Things like that to kind of really break it down. And then it has a part where they can actually write up like a paragraph about their avatar, like give her a name, you know, like it's kind of really getting that in depth with it. And then finally kind of like, all right, now we know who we're talking to and our goals, like what is your you know, your messaging, like what resonates with them? Like, is it video? Is it images? What kind of images? You know, like kind of where that is. And then is that consistent across like your presence and that kind of working through that as well? So yeah, that's kind of where I start. It's a workbook that I send them.
Oh, I love that idea. And you have that workbook available, right? For as a download?
I do. Right. Yes. Totally free. That's
awesome. Yeah. Because I think all of us, and I personally have struggled with this because we don't want to leave people out. And what I say to people, to clients is that you're not going to leave people out. You're just focusing on the one that's going to spend the most money with you. That's going to be the best customer to work with. That is your ideal, your dream customer. Because if you're putting money in advertising, for example, and you're trying to reach everybody, you're going to get people that you don't want to be working with as well. Right. So if you really focus on that one ideal customer, it makes such a huge difference.
I agree.
All that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you know of places that small businesses can kind of research and gather information about their customer? Or is it something that, do you feel like they need to know if they have an existing business? Do they need to know who's already buying from them? Or can they focus on who they want to buy from them? Or how do you manage that?
Yeah. So kind of going through, you know, a little bit of analytics. You know, whether that's their social media, kind of seeing who's following them, who's engaging, because yeah, there's a lot you can get from the KPIs on Meta or even LinkedIn. It'll show you, you know, where they live, their age group, their gender, their, you know, it doesn't necessarily show their income level, but things like that. So you can kind of glean a little bit of information, and then on your website as well. So you can kind of tell again, like, where are they coming from? You know, what, like how old they are. And then you can also even go a little bit more granular if you have like your Google Analytics in your search console talking to each other. You can literally see the queries that they put in. So like what they're typing and how they get to your website. So that gives a little more insight too. It's like, oh, this is how they found me. This is what they're looking for. And then you can kind of start to create content around that, which is really, really effective because you already know what they're looking for.
Gotcha. Yeah, that is so true. I mean, and I know that it's gotten harder over the years. Like when we first started with Facebook, they used to have Facebook Audience Insights, which was like a goldmine of information. And they still have that. It's just not as good as it used to be.
It's not as in depth.
Yeah, definitely. And it really is kind of hard, but a lot of it is just who you really want to be reaching to, right? So it's not necessarily who is coming to you currently, but it's also people that you want to be reaching out to, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The other thing too, you could do what we do is some hashtag research across Instagram and LinkedIn as well, and kind of whatever you're wanting to attract or your services you're provided, like I will put relevant hashtags to that, and then I'll kind of go and see what kind of people are following that, what they're engaging with, what kind of content they're creating. So that's kind of another kind of high level, you know, not as granular, but an idea of what those kind of people are searching for and what they're engaging with.
Oh, I love that idea. It's a really good one. Yeah, because sometimes you just don't know. You take a guess, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes our guesses are really wrong.
Right. Exactly.
So is there a way that small businesses should adapt or change their target customer as their business grows or changes over the years? Or do you recommend that people go back and do this exercise like every so often? Or what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I kind of encourage every year, maybe even half, like every 6 months, like just kind of revisiting. You don't have to go through the whole thing again, but kind of looking at, is my branding and messaging still relevant to where my business is now, to the customers that I'm serving, that I want to serve? And sometimes you might tweak a little bit, and some people will start as well with just the core avatar, and maybe you have built other avatars. You can have multiple. So again, too, like, are there new people that I am, you know, needing to create content and connect with? I encourage at least once a year would be great. You know, if we have more time, that'd be great too. But
yeah. And sometimes we can tell just by looking at our analytics, right? Like, you know, this is not the person I was hoping to pull in, really, you know? Mm-hmm. And you touch on this, but it's okay to have multiple avatars for a customer, right? I mean, I used to work, one of my clients was a children's museum, and they wanted, of course, to reach parents, but they also wanted to reach grandparents. And that was very different in the way they reached them. You know, it was like totally different platforms, totally different messaging.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think, I feel like too, sometimes small business owners get overwhelmed when they're like, oh, I have different ones, so I have to create different content. But being able to like have some templates, or still, again, knowing who you're talking to and what kind of content they like to consume, it gets quicker to be able to create content for them. Because I've talked to business owners that are like, I don't have the time to do, you know, multiple or, you know, cross platforms with different kind of content. But yeah, kind of getting into that routine of knowing what they're wanting, and then, you know, you can schedule ahead and things like that. So that, like, little tips like that to make your life a little bit easier, that does work really well too.
So let's talk a little bit about the business that you have now. What do you wish that you would have known when you started your business?
Oh, that's a good question. I ask that one on my podcast sometimes too. I guess I wish I would have known to just kind of be ready for whatever. Like, I didn't realize, you know, how much of a roller coaster sometimes entrepreneurship can be. And that's okay. I actually really love it. I don't think I could ever work for anyone or go to a corporate job, but you know, just being prepared and knowing it's going to get uncomfortable, but it's worth it. Yeah, I think that's probably like, and also too, the other one I would say, like, growing my network earlier. Like, I started my podcast 5 years ago, in the sense of like, I want to connect with other entrepreneurs. Like, maybe they're as crazy as I am, or, you know, like things like that. And that has been like, that support and that community has been amazing. So that just having other people along the ride with you, because like my husband and I worked together on our first business, but this one now, you know, when I start to talk to him about things, he's like, okay. I'm like, you don't understand what I'm saying, you know? So
know. Yeah.
So just stuff like that, a community and being prepared to be uncomfortable.
Yes. Oh, both of those. Yeah. In fact, I was just listening to a podcast the other night about loneliness and how it's really, it wasn't necessarily like, we think about the pandemic and post-pandemic age, but it really happened prior to that. Like, when we started jumping on social media and having your community be online rather than in person, like going to networking events and just connecting with other entrepreneurs. And I have loved this. I haven't been doing my podcast all that long, just about almost a year. Mm-hmm. But you're right, just connecting with other entrepreneurs and saying, oh, they get me, you know, and oh, I totally struggle with that too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, like, in our businesses, we paint this picture of perfection, especially it's all Instagrammable, right? You know, it's like, oh, this was so easy. I just did this, and bing, I was a millionaire, you know, and it's like, not like that at
no,
all.
No, it is not like that.
I mean, it may be like that
maybe
for
some people, but yeah, but
I haven't met those people yet, but, but so that's why I, you know, that's kind of one of my passions, is like dealing with, especially the foundational stuff with marketing. Cause I grew up in a small business family and my dad had a business, you know, and I think if I would have been able to, utilize what I now know with his business, it would have been, so much more successful for him. And it was successful, but it wasn't like as much as I think it could have been had he utilized some of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's kind of what drives me. But is there anything else that you think is foundational? We talked a lot about the target ideal customer, right? Is there anything else that you feel like is really foundational with small businesses when we're talking about marketing?
Yeah. I don't know if this falls to, like, I feel like this falls into foundational, but I'm not sure. Just being consistent. That seems to be also a big issue. Again, we've got a million things going on. But I saw a stat on LinkedIn this week. Like, remember, it used to be like the 7 touches to convert someone. I think it's like 81 now or something. And so I was just like, oh, what?
Yeah.
So that in itself, again, like even as a non-marketing person or business owner, seems discouraging, you know, because it's like, how much am I going to have to keep going and doing? And I think that's where business owners, like you were saying before, they'll jump to other things, or I'll try an ad, or I'll try a social media post, but they're not seeing the results because there's no like consistency behind it. And once you do, it's kind of like a, you know, rolling down a hill, the momentum starts to build, but a lot of people don't quite get to that momentum building spot. Mm-hmm. So that would just be the other big thing that I try to like hammer home, like be consistent, whatever one you're doing, even if it's once a week, just make sure it's consistent, like whatever works for you, because we're all different and have different things going on. But however you can find consistency, like do that.
Right, right. And that is so true. I think, you know, once you get some momentum, it does kind of keep going and keep building.
Yeah.
And just keep showing up, even when, you know, you have two followers, you know, those are two people that are hearing your message.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much out there, like there's so much noise out there, especially in social media. It's so hard to stand out from it, mm-hmm. you know, seeing what's working. And then, of course, on social media, which is like a whole another dozen podcasts, right? It's hard to stay ahead of the algorithm, first of all. Mm-hmm. And what's, you know, once you figure out like, oh, this is working now, and then they'll switch it up and not going to be working anymore.
Super annoying.
Yeah. It's really a challenging thing, but there are other places you can be. You don't need to be pouring hours and hours into Instagram when you could just be, you know, maybe talking at a conference, for example, and you're going to get a whole lot more traction from that. So there are other ways to get your message out there, I think, other than just adding to the noise, right?
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But 81, I hadn't heard that. Like I heard more than 7, but like, oh, okay. Well, that's a little discouraging.
It is. It's crazy. Yeah. But like you said, like if there's two people that are following you, like those people are following you for a reason, you know, and if you're building a community and support, you can reach out to them, like referrals, you know, public relations, there's lots of free opportunities there. Like there are so many options. And again, I think that is what might be slightly overwhelming sometimes if you're not coming from like a marketing background. Mm-hmm. But once you have, you know, what your goals are, who you're talking to, where they're at, then it makes it easier to figure out which of those you should put your time and effort into.
Right. That's exactly right. Once you have your strategy in place, or what I call the trail to the sale, you know exactly where you should be going. And that's why that target customer is so important, because it determines your next steps along the way too, for sure. I think there are so many different options out there that it does kind of become a little overwhelming to a lot of people. But again, just start where you are. Speak to that individual. Speak to those two people that you're following. And sometimes I think we look at the numbers too. We're like, oh, you know, only 10 people like this post. Well, those are 10 human beings. If we had 10 people in our office, that would be a lot, right? So, you know, and it's that starting small is where everybody starts. And even the big corporate giants, you know, they started with one follower, you know? So it's not like we start with thousands of, and you know, likes for every post we do. We all start at the same place. And that's kind of the nice thing about the technology we have right now, is that it is kind of a more level playing field. You don't have to have that massive marketing budget to make an impact and connect with people.
Mm-hmm, totally. I was actually just telling my son the origin story of Nike the other day, because we're not too far from Eugene where it all started, and he had no idea. Yeah, like Bowerman made his shoes, like Prefontaine, the runner. He made his shoes out of like literally his wife's waffle iron, and they sold it out the back of their car at track meets. I mean, and they were called Blue Ribbon Sports. They weren't even Nike. So we all start small and could be out the back of our car, you know?
Right. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Waffle Ann. Huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at my waffle iron differently.
Yeah. So he could run. They were lighter. And so he like literally took his wife's and she got like really upset with him because he ruined it because he, you know. but they were able to run faster. And that was kind of the catalyst of Nike.
I love that. That is cool. So, Nicole, where can people learn more about you and your business?
Yeah. So my website is probably the best place to get started. Just nb.marketing. No.com. That throws people sometimes. but there, that's where the freebie is. You'll see it drop down. There's a whole tab as well for some other freebies. And then the podcast is there, social media links. So that's probably the best place to start.
Perfect. And I'll put all the links in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Nicole, for joining me today. I loved our conversation.
Me too. Yeah. Thank you so much. This is a blast.
So do you think you have a better idea of who you should be aiming at with your marketing? If not, I want to encourage you to download Nicole's free workbook to determine your ideal target customer. I put the link in the show notes for today. Go to myweeklymarketing.com/47. That's episode 47. If you found this episode helpful, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean so much to me. Thank you for listening today. I don't take it for granted. See you next time. Bye for now.